Hello and welcome to Health Affairs This Week. I'm your host, Jeff Byers. Before we get into today's episode with Jack Hoadley from Georgetown University, I have a lot of notes about some goings-ons at Health Affairs. First, we published a new health policy brief yesterday. It's called Pillars, Policies, and Plausible Pathways, including digital inclusion and health equity. Some might remember this maybe being called the digital divide. It's all about that. Check it out in our show notes. We also have an exciting event next week on May 9th. It's celebrating the 20th anniversary of the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT, or ONC. We have Blumenthal. We have DeSalvo. We have Tripathi. We got them all. Please join us. Third, are you a health policy wonk? If contest is back, all you have to do is finish the sentence, you're a health policy wonk, if, and you'll be in the running for a free online journal subscription for a year. Check it out. Last year's campaign was a lot of fun. And finally, thank you for bearing with me. Stacy Tusenya's Insider newsletter started this week. It's on drug pricing. In addition to Brent Fulton's antitrust newsletter and an upcoming health reform newsletter from the fine folks from Georgetown University, it's shaping up to be a great year of insider insights from health policy researchers. And with that, on with the show. Early in April, CMS issued a final rule for the Medicare Advantage market for 2025. Notably, CMS didn't revise much from the advance notice to the final rule. Stocks for the major carriers took a dip at this announcement. The publication Health Tech Nerds shared that, and I quote, CMS isn't adjusting the rate in large part because it hasn't seen the uptick in utilization and Medicare fee-for-service claims that many payers noted in Q4. To discuss this new environment for Medicare Advantage, we have today on the program Jack Hoadley from Georgetown University. Jack, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So let's get right into it. Let's contextualize the MA marketplace. How big is it? How does it compare to the Medicare market in general?
Yeah, so the Medicare Advantage market, the MA market, is half of Medicare at this point. 51%, 31 million beneficiaries are enrolled in Medicare Advantage plans, and so the rest are in traditional Medicare. So it really is a big part of the program right now.
And so why is it interesting to track this market? Is it because of alleged fraud, or what's going on? Why is it so hot?
Well, it's interesting to track the market, first of all, because of that size. It is a big part of the market. But there's also been constant questions asked about whether this is working well for the program. Is it working well for the program's beneficiaries? It is, in the sense that 73% of those Medicare Advantage enrollees are getting plans for a zero premium. That means they're getting everything that they would get in traditional Medicare, plus some kinds of supplemental benefits. One estimate suggests that they're getting $2,000 a year in extra benefits being part of Medicare Advantage plans. But of course, that comes at a price. It does suggest that we're paying more for these beneficiaries to be in Medicare Advantage than we are for the beneficiaries who are in traditional Medicare.
Yeah, so as you were talking, I immediately thought about my own family experience. My dad is in Medicare age, and I remember him getting promotions for Medicare. And part of me wondered, I wonder if he's going to go with the Medicare Advantage plan. And so maybe what I want to ask you is, how are Medicare Advantage plans seen from a branding perspective? Do potential beneficiaries see them as better than traditional Medicare, or is traditional Medicare seen as that's good? What's the viewpoint from that on that?
I think there's elements of both of that. I think a lot of beneficiaries still see traditional Medicare as a really good program. I think most do. But it also can be an expensive program, because not only do you pay the premium for Part B, and everybody's going to pay that whether they're in traditional Medicare or Medicare Advantage, but there's a lot of cost sharing attached to traditional Medicare. And one way to sort of deal with that cost sharing is to join a Medicare Advantage plan where they're going to cover a lot of what would otherwise be the traditional Medicare cost sharing, as well as some of those additional benefits for things like vision and hearing that aren't part of Medicare traditionally. And as I mentioned before, 3/4 of beneficiaries that are in Medicare Advantage are getting that with no additional premium. Whereas if they stay in traditional Medicare and buy a Medigap plan or a supplement plan, they may be paying something like $150 a month to cover their cost sharing to provide whatever supplemental that they need to be part of that. And so it's a lot of it is about saving money. It's a less expensive way to go. In exchange, they're agreeing to some limitations. They're agreeing, like anybody who's in a managed care plan, to staying within a network, to allowing that managed care plan to potentially require prior authorization on services and do other things which may create some limits on what you're getting, how you're getting your Medicare.
Back to the rule. So as noted, the final MA rule didn't budge from the advance notice. How does this rule impact insurers? What's your take?
Yeah, so you know, typically the Medicare Advantage plans expect to see some softening of what the original proposed numbers are before they go final. And in this year in particular, the plans noted that there was this uptick in spending in the 4th quarter. They wanted to see some adjustment to recognize that uptick in spending. CMS doesn't agree that there was particularly an uptick, or at least they didn't see the evidence for it. And so they held the line. But all of this is also in the context of that notion that Medicare typically overpays Medicare Advantage plans. And so over the years, there's been some effort to make adjustments to that. And there are some who would like to see even more of those kinds of adjustments.
Thanks for that. So where can we place this final rule into the broader market maturation?
Medicare Advantage has been a very profitable line of business for most insurers that participate. The biggest ones are Humana and United Healthcare, but Cigna and Aetna and some of the other big insurers are all part of this market. And they're all major players in this market. And typically, it's been a very profitable line of business for them. Now, you've mentioned that there were some dips in the stocks for some of these companies when this announcement came out. That doesn't necessarily say it's not still a profitable market for them. It might just say that compared to their expectations, because as we know, stock market fluctuation is as much about comparison to expectations as it is to overall profitability.
Yeah, it's sports betting for finance people.
Exactly. So, you know, there may be some need to make adjustments in the coming year. And this could have some effect on beneficiaries and people who are enrolled in those plans.
When we look at the MA market, correct me if I'm wrong, but there were supplemental benefits that were kind of connected to social determinants that were allowed in Medicare Advantage plans. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so do you know how that's been doing? Like home-based care, I think there was some food.
There's even potential for groceries and other kinds of things.
Yeah.
What we've seen is that a relatively small share of all the Medicare Advantage plans are offering those kind of benefits. And the take-up on those has not been enormous. So sometimes people see them when they're considering a plan. They say, oh, I'd love to get some help with my food or help with transportation or some of these supplemental benefits. But first of all, they've got to qualify. They've got to have the right chronic health conditions that make them eligible to actually get those benefits. They, of course, have to be in a plan that offers those. And then everybody's got to be smart enough to, if they are eligible and they are offered, to make sure that they're linked up. And we're not sure this always happens. And actually, one of the things that CMS published in their new rule was to require plans to make sort of a mid-year notice to say, there's some benefits you might be eligible for that you're not getting, and to make people more aware of those and make sure they do take up the things that they're entitled to.
Back to the rule, what are the changes in 2025 that you think are important for our listeners to know?
So beyond just the level of payment, there are some changes in marketing rules. So for example, the roles of brokers. Typically, brokers have been able to get payment, they always get their payment from the plans, but the payment has often been based on some kind of enrollment incentive. So if I get more people into your plan, I'm going to make more money. The downside of that for a Medicare beneficiary is that that broker may not give equal treatment to all your options. So if they're being paid better by Aetna, they may not talk as much about what Cigna offers or what Humana offers or vice versa. And so the new rules will say that, that payments should be based on more flat amounts based on what they're doing and not with these kinds of bonuses. And so hopefully that will mean that beneficiaries will get a straighter message from the brokers. The brokers will be looking at which plan really is best for your circumstances, not which one gets maybe a bigger bonus.
And then there are some changes coming up with Medicare Part D. Is that correct?
That's right. And so these are changes that came out of the Inflation Reduction Act that was passed a couple of years ago. And, you know, there's a slow process to get those into place. So already in 2024, we're seeing some important changes where vaccines are limited to in cost sharing to be free, to have no cost sharing charged. That insulin is limited to a $35 cost sharing. Those are things people have already been seeing in some cases starting last year, in some cases this year. But in 2025, we're going to have an absolute out-of-pocket cap on what beneficiaries pay for drugs under their Part D benefit of $2,000. And we've seen situations where some beneficiaries who use very costly drugs might be paying out-of-pocket, you know, $10,000. And that particular beneficiary will see that enormous shift from a $10,000 annual copays down to just a limit of $2,000. And so that may not affect, you know, every beneficiary, but the ones it affects, well, it'll be a really important thing because they may not have been able to afford to take their drugs. People might also have heard about the power of Medicare under the Inflation Reduction Act to negotiate some drug prices. And that's a process that's currently underway. It's also a process that's being litigated by the manufacturers, so far unsuccessfully. We're going to see later this year announcement of those negotiated prices, although the prices themselves won't go into effect until 2026, because the plans will need some time to build those prices into their bids, and it'll be too late this year to do that. But again, that's something that that beneficiaries should look forward to. On 10 very expensive drugs, they may see a significant price break.
And I would direct listeners to check out our Eye on IRA series here at Health Affairs, yet to drop, but it will touch on a lot of that. So, Jack, as we wrap up our conversation, what is in store for the Medicare Advantage market going forward?
You know, I think Medicare Advantage is still going to be a healthy program. I don't think we're going to see any dramatic changes. We may see some, you know, scaling back of certain extra benefits. There may be more fights between Medicare Advantage plans and provider organizations who say you're not paying me enough, and so we don't want to participate in your plan anymore. We've seen some of those kinds of threats out there recently. But I think overall, the program is going to remain healthy. Again, I mentioned that there's an enormous overpayment by some estimates, $83 billion more paid for Medicare Advantage enrollees than if they were in traditional Medicare, or a 22% higher payment. You know, that's not going away. You know, there's been attempts to adjust that a bit. But, you know, with that extra payment, plans are going to be able to afford to continue to offer a lot of extra things to their enrollees. Enrollees are, you know, beneficiaries are going to continue to see these plans as useful to them. For those who like them, and you know, the traditional Medicare option remains for those who don't.
Jack Hoadley, thank you for joining us today on Health Affairs This Week. And with that, thank you for listening to Health Affairs This Week. Please share this episode with a friend if you think it was enjoyable. If not, share it with your friend anyways. Maybe they could learn a thing or two. Thanks again, and have a great day.